Hello, listeners, and welcome to another episode of SolarWinds Tech Pod. Today, we're going to be exploring your bug-out bag for your holiday tech survival kit. So what brings you peace of mind around the holidays? And joining me today is my co-host, Crystal Taylor, as usual, and a frequent guest of ours, Andy Garibay.
Welcome back, Andy.
So,
hey, thanks
welcome.
For having me.
Yeah, super excited. I love that you join us on the holidays for these. It's just kind of a fun breakup from the normal quote-unquote serious tech talks that we have.
I can't be serious.
To kind of, you know, introduce some fun, silly tech-related holiday topics today. So, when I was putting this together, it was hard not to accidentally go back into some of the other episodes that we've done. So truth be told, you know, there's still fun topics to just kind of rip into, you know, what tech did I like? What tech don't I like? You know, we almost did a Ghost of Christmas Past kind of thing. So, what we'll try and do today is what tech is essential for you around the holidays. And to give you some ideas and what would be maybe a good starting point is travel. There's lots of travel around the holidays, especially for folks who don't normally travel, right? If you're a frequent traveler for work, right, maybe you've already got your kit set up, right? So as a infrequent traveler who's like, oh, it's a holiday season again, you know, I got to get myself prepared. Andy, we'll start with you. What is an essential in your travel what tech is essential for you during travel?
So yeah, it always depends on where I'm going, what kind of vacation it is. But for the holiday travel, I'm usually going over to relative's house, which means sitting on the couch a lot or trying to find something to do. So anywhere I go, I'm not including my phone. It's always in your pocket, but that takes care of like 90% of the things that I want to do. But anywhere I go, I have to have noise canceling headphones. Always bring my Kindle. I'm a dork. I always got my head in a book, and I will bring my Switch. The Switch is a double-edged sword because the minute I bust it out, it's just like this kid
everyone
magnet,
else wants it.
And they're like, hey, Wazoo, can I get a turn? It's like, no, get off. You don't want your grubby fingers on this thing. So, yeah. But those are the essential electronics technology that I bring. I never, ever bring a laptop, computer, pad, anything like that. I purposely try to... I don't want to be on a computer most days. So I definitely don't want to be on them during the holiday.
That's a good point. A tech don't around the holidays is, you know, get away from the computer, the PC, whatever it might be.
I'm never away from the computer.
Yeah, awesome. A lot of those I actually vibe with, and especially like the, if you're going to bring out something entertaining for yourself, that's accidentally going to tease everyone else to say, hey, come bother me now.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a ledged sword, as you put it. So, Crystal, how about you?
Well, Andy mentioned something that I think is important for us to consider, which is traveling with your kids. And so I brought to play some things that I think people might forget about because, you know, even if you have offline things, tablets for your kids, they've got their own switches, whatever, you might forget things like a power bank.
Yeah.
Or maybe a portable storage for offline media. So like, don't forget your offline media, especially if you're going through airports or trains or whatever. When we traveled earlier this year, and it wasn't for holidays, but I will say that it was very nice for us each to have access to offline media so that when we were taking the trains or when we were waiting around in the airport or whatever, we had something to do. And when he was smaller and we would travel for the holidays to visit my dad in Colorado or something. And he was like 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. Having something nearby that can keep him quiet and to himself for everyone else around, not just for yourself, but for everyone else around, consider having something to help them be calm and quiet because it's chaotic enough. I definitely think noise canceling headphones. And if you have noise canceling headphones for you, also get noise canceling headphones for the kiddos. It helps them, especially if they're having a hard time like focusing or calming down, like being able to block out the chaotic noise of an airport or just the family. I know my son is an introvert. And so when we go to these big parties and family gatherings and things that we go to, we're both introverted. We'll reach a point, and now that he's older, he just tells me, but like, we'll reach a point where it's clearly like obvious that we're kind of done. Our social batteries are empty, and he'll just come find me and he'll be like, "Mom, my social battery is empty. Can we go home now?" And I'll say yes. But when he was younger, he didn't have that mental check right. to be able to say like, "I'm done." He would just start getting upset at things. So like, if you're having those kinds of things, I think noise canceling can really help with that as well. Like, find a quiet corner for them where they can hide away from everyone. Maybe find a quiet corner for me where I can hide away from everyone at the holiday party.
Mm-hmm.
It's so, okay.
You know,
I was going to ask Crystal, so for you personally, what is your offline media? Are you doing like playlists, podcasts? Are you doing like, you know, something off a streamer like Netflix?
It depends. So I will do movies for Netflix, because you know what's funny is I don't make time to watch TV or movies in my everyday life. But when I'm traveling for work or whatever is whenever I watch TV and movies. I don't at home. I just play games and read. But when I'm traveling, I read when I travel. But like, I'll take a break from that and I'll watch things. So traveling usually is TV and movies. I will say, though, that I will game sometimes, but it's harder for me to game when I'm traveling because I'm too aware of things happening around
me. It's too hard to immerse. Right?
Yeah, I get anxious, I guess. Like if I'm ignoring it, I get anxious that someone's going to get too close to me or something. Because I don't need people in my little private bubble of myself. Yeah. And so like it gives me anxiety to get too into a game whenever I'm traveling. So I'll go with like movies. Usually I'll take offline movies. This year it was K-pop Demon Hunters. I watched it five times, like nice. While I was traveling.
What is your travel gaming? Is it a Switch, a Steam Deck?
My go-to for traveling, I have a Steam Deck and I also have a Switch. So it depends on what I'm doing. I typically now will take the Steam Deck because I have access to way more games on the Steam Deck than I do on the Nintendo Switch. And then my son will take the Switch. So we take both and then we just alternate who's playing whatever.
I did a bunch of travel actually this last fall, and it's a mix of both of what both of you said. It's very ritualistic because I actually travel often, and like kind of like you said, it depends on the occasion, but I almost treat them the same. Like as soon as a door closes, it switches from business to R&R. When I'm on a plane, it's R&R, right? But in a business mode of R&R, so it's a little different. But I have a specific bag for those things. It's my merce, my satchel, whatever you want to call it, right? My messenger bag. But it's got the specific cords, which have to be in there, and they're rolled up a specific way, right? And they don't leave the bag. Even when I get back home, they stay in there. That's their specific purpose. You got your earbuds, which I like earbuds, noise canceling headphones, right? If you like the over the ear, totally fine. I like the earbuds. I've gotten used to them. I got an iPad that's entertainment only. I only got the iPad because it was on the company store. Otherwise, I wouldn't touch an Apple product personally. That's just, we'll throw some tech in there, right? Everyone likes to pick their platform of choice. And audiobooks, man. Oh, I love audiobooks. I will spend hours and hours in audiobooks.
I can't do it.
It's the only way for me to get through books because I'm so physically busy. I have to be doing something. So if I'm on the plane, I can do an audiobook because I can just then I'm not actually I'm trapped. I can't go anywhere. I'm like, okay, I'll just sit back and do this. Or if I'm out and about in my regular day, I go for walks and listen to my audiobooks. I mow the lawn with my audiobooks playing. So definitely have some very specific things. And I agree on the don'ts, right? There's certain texts where I'm like, I can't engage, right? Games are really hard, even when I'm in my quote unquote R&R state. Let's say I was with my mom's for a week. I could play maybe a quick mobile game or something on the iPad, but even then, it's just so hard to like, you feel guilty hiding out in a room playing a game, and you're like, shouldn't I be using this time to go? But to Crystal's point, that social battery only goes so far.
Right.
Like, we've become trained over the last 15, 20 years, like, but I could get so much dopamine by myself.
Yeah.
You know, so
I mean,
it's the reason you still don't live with your parents.
True. Yeah. Also true.
I have an alternate suggestion, Sean, which is just invite everyone to play a game with you, which is there are a lot of like really cool, so like great social games that anyone can play because they only use a mobile phone. So one person owns the game, like Jackbox is like this. And let me
love
just,
it on the
just
Switch.
A warning
it,
about
yeah.
Jackbox games. They're super fun. They can get out of hand real fast. So decide up front if you're going to involve the kids or not, so everyone knows. That's what I would say about fair warning for those social yeah. games, because they are free form. So you can write whatever you want. You can draw whatever you want. So yeah, it usually devolves, especially if there's alcohol involved, but they are very fun. And because you are each using your phone instead of having everyone having a gaming device, you all sit around the couch or the TV, wherever it's at, and then you play. It's very engaging. So depending on, you can get everybody involved in that. Everybody's got a phone nowadays. You can get everybody involved in that. So I would say if you are like fiending for playing something, or the party's getting boring, or you're trying to find an escape, games are a good way to go about that. We're a gaming family over here. We play board games, card games, dice games, everything.
Oh yeah,
on my full extended family. So there's going to be games somewhere happening, and there are also, you know, those social games are also really good.
Yeah, we play we'll play Mario Party a lot, me and the kids.
That's dangerous.
Ooh, that's risky, Andy.
Dude,
that's risky.
It is destroying our
family. That's like saying you're gonna bust yeah. out the Monopoly today. Like, we're gonna end some friendships, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, it always ends with somebody crying. It's amazing. It's so good.
Yeah, or passed out in a box of pizza. I've been there too. No, great stuff. So we kind of did a pretty good broad. We can, you know, if you remember anything, of course, bring it back up. But another good thing when we think about staying with family around the holidays, especially as Americans, I'll say, is food, right? And it's most cultures as well around whatever holiday it may be. But food is a big thing, and tech has become a big part of it. If you think about your traditional Christmas dinner, you got either ham or turkey is probably one of the bigger ones that comes to my mind. And there's different tech for turkeys nowadays. So it's not super new, but in the last 10 years, deep fried turkey has been something that's been more regular in my family. And there's different tech approaches to, you know, what kind of deep fryer you have. The gas ones, absolutely terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. Can you imagine that there's videos, you've seen it, where someone puts a still frozen turkey into, you know, magma oil. And then, you know, kaboom, oh, it was in a gas grill too, or so, yeah, terrifying. Either way, kitchen tech. We also brought up some of these neat kitchen gadgets on some of our past podcasts where we talked about, you know, what are some neat, interesting, wish list kind of techs. So again, we'll start with you, Andy. Is there anything when it comes to kitchen, because you've said before you love cooking.
Yes.
What kind of kitchen tech is a must-have around the holidays?
So whenever I was younger and, you know, everybody gets their first apartment and everything like that, I had tons of kitchen tech because you're trying to, like, cook something really well in a microwave or a George Foreman grill or whatever. So I had a bunch of that stuff, but as I've gotten older and thankfully more space and a bigger kitchen, my kitchen tech has gone out the door. I don't have any more kitchen tech except for, like, a stand mixer, but I barely count that. And I was so against an air fryer because I was like, oh, lazy, just put it in the oven or whatever. And so I finally got one. My wife just kept asking for one, so we got one. I didn't want another thing on the counter, but I found a space that we could tuck it away. And so, and absolutely love it. But all of those gadgets that I used to have, I just phased them out because they just sit in a cabinet, and you know, every year or two I do the clean out and rearrange, and I got rid of them. But like, I used to have, then I went through like 5 George Foreman grills, 3 Magic Bullets, all those random things of like, it cooks eggs in a microwave, or it's a bacon tray, or it's a whatever. I used to have this sleeve that you put potatoes in that you cook in the microwave, and it said it made them perfectly, and it was like, it's just microwaving a potato. Like, it didn't do anything special, but you know, it was like, I gotta have it. And so I had all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, the more and more you use it, you just realize, like, this is garbage. But the things I want, I want a pellet smoker with all the Bluetooth and wireless temperature gauges, because I obviously love smoked food, but I do not have the patience. I'm not that kind of person who's like, I'm going to start something at 5 o'clock in the morning and it'll be ready 12 hours later, you know, with constant checking. Like, I can do that, but if I can just, you know, romp a peel, set it and forget it style, I'll be super happy. So I really want to get one of those, but also, like, the price point, do I really want to get one? Because those things are like,
yeah,
I mean, it seems like entry level, they're $1,200 or something like that. It's like, not ready to, you know, pull that trigger.
Andy, can I recommend to you the Ninja version? It's smaller, but it's way less expensive. My dad freaking loves it. He uses it for the RV, but it does do the pellet smoking in a Ninja grill.
I was looking at one of those and the reviews were kind of lackluster, but I don't know anyone personally who has
my
one.
Your dad loves it. Mm. Yes.
I might try that then and just like order it off Amazon so I can return it, or Walmart, because they don't care. Because the price point is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't need this huge thing. I'm not going to, you know, make 8 racks of ribs and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I might have to try that. So yes, I do want one of those Ninja electric smoke, and they're like 6-in-1. They're like air fryers, smokers.
Oh yeah, Ninja doesn't do anything.
Grills,
just
broilers.
One thing.
It's like, hell yeah. No, I have a Ninja air fryer and it's, you know, a roaster, or this, or that, or whatever. So yeah, okay. I'm sold. I'm going to have to try one.
I don't have much to add to this conversation, mostly because I don't like to cook. I've mentioned this several times.
Yeah.
I'm not big on the cooking. If we're doing holiday cooking, most of the time I'm not the one doing any kind of a main dish. I will say that the air fryer, I will also recommend an air fryer. And I'm going to tell you my specific reason is that if you're cooking a big dinner and the food is not ready yet, but the kids are hungry, air fryer is fast. You can whip them up some, you know, chicken nuggets or whatever real quick just to tide them over. But I also think that the Instant Pot is no longer like the hot item. But let me tell you, you can make a pot roast in an hour, guys. An hour. And it is pot roast time. I am ready for a pot roast. So that's all I got. I don't cook a lot. I don't have a lot of cooking gadgets because I don't cook a lot. So I don't have a lot to add to that conversation.
I just used my Instant Pot this week. You can make beans that from dry in 1 hour. Made a huge pot of borracho beans and they were so, so good. Freeze the rest of them.
Coming to Andy's house.
If you don't cook, which I know this about you, then tech wise, like, what's your go-to delivery app? Are you a DoorDash or a Grubhub?
I have two subscriptions. I have DoorDash and Uber Eats.
Nice.
Uber Eats, I will tell you that I like them better for the reason that you get Uber, the driving is the same. It's the same subscription. So you get
the Uber Eats and
you get the Uber ride shares in the same subscription, which is multi-purpose, and I like that better because it seems like a better deal, even if it's not. I don't know.
I've never used Uber Eats. Can you combine them? Like, I need to go to the airport and I want chicken wings.
I don't
Bring
know,
them to
but
Mickey.
I think that I should try.
Yeah.
Full service. Full service.
Exactly. That'd be awesome.
I love that. Do they have Deliveroo in the States?
In some places.
Never heard
of
it.
I think so.
Okay. Deliveroo is a big one over here in the parts of Europe that I'm in. So, also, I don't manage those apps at all. That's when my wife's cooking, right?
Mm-hmm.
On a stressful night, she says, I'm cooking pizza tonight from the chair in the living room. And I'm like, got it, babe. Right. So I'm like,
I'm
you know, unspoken language, totally got it. You know, it's one of those nights. But yeah, definitely a tech essential when it comes to quote unquote kitchen tech for sure.
Yeah.
I will swear by the air fryer too. Actually, after we moved to Ireland, we haven't had a microwave in over 2 years now. And it was an interesting adjustment at first, but we figured out like different ways. So like Basically, small pie tins are great for portion. Also, Sean, portion control. You put an appropriate amount in there. And then like the little silicone sleeves you can put at the bottom, just helping with the cleanup. There's so much to do, but it works so great. And Crystal, to your point, like it's rapid baking. It's like the Instapot version of baking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it does a lot. And like very taboo here. You can even do steaks in it. I know. Don't hurt me. you people who are like, you know, connoisseurs of cooking meat. I'm just saying you can.
You can.
I would still always, you know, grill a steak over.
I mean,
that.
Technically, you can boil a steak too, Sean.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You know what? I did. Right,
Andy,
I did.
I don't know if you can come back on the tech pod
yeah,
now.
Man,
I thought I was
outcast,
pushing it.
Outcast. I have tried to air fry a steak, and I'll tell you, I overcooked it immediately. I don't know how to balance that. I don't know what to do with that. So I cook it on a cast iron skillet if I'm gonna make steak.
I saw a video
no,
of how to make fried chicken in an air fryer using two different, you know, like first you do it like, I'd have to watch the video again, but like first you roast it, then you turn on the air fryer to get it crispy. I was like, that sounds messy, but I'm going to try it. But it still sounds cleaner than, like, I love fried chicken.
Yeah.
But oh my God, like every time I've tried to make it, it's just, get a splatter everywhere. It's just so annoying. So I never make fried chicken.
Well, and not just that, but cleaning the batter that somehow turns into like the sediment of the batter at the bottom of the bowl.
And you can't put it down the garbage disposal and you got to just scrape it off into a trash can. Yeah.
It becomes concrete too. But yeah, no, double frying in the air fryer is a great trick, right? You cook it the first round, let it cool for a second, right? Maybe, you know, toss it if it's tater tots. That's a great one. Tots. Right. Toss them, let them, you know, season them, toss them, let them cool for a second, put them back in on the highest heat for 5 minutes. And then bam, they've got that extra crisp to them. So the double fry in the air fryer is great. On the note of meat, though, and Crystal overcooking a steak, I don't really do steaks in there, but we do lots of meats in there. To your point, Andy, frying is awesome because of the mess. And pork chops are notoriously hard for us because you can't get the breading to stay on. Because it's such a juicy meat, right?
Yeah.
It's a fattier meat. And so like the air fryer is fantastic for things like pork chops, which is actually what we're going to do tonight. Funny enough.
Sounds good.
But on the note of meat, I'm a goat. I'll eat anything and my stomach's just fine. But Sierra has to know, is it cooked? Right? So we have a digital thermometer. So she lives and breathes by the digital thermometer when it comes to meats, you know, especially like poultries and stuff like that. Yeah. And it's always out when there's, you know, lots of cooking going on. And she swears by it. So that's a huge help for us. I'd like to say also a digital scale, but I don't use anything like that. This is portion control right
exactly.
Here. The eyeballs. Okay. You know, you got to eyeball it. That's how the seasonings work too. Okay. We don't do no measurements, right? It's eyeballing.
Only thing I ever measure is baking because that's actual chemistry. But yeah.
Well, that's
seasoning,
science, yes,
making
that's
something. Yeah. It's always just eyeballing
yeah,
it.
Yeah. It's color coded. The meat's color coded, right? Done enough. It's not hollering anymore.
Exactly.
So, you know, one other thing that I don't use, but I have in the past, and it was okay. It was nice as one of the meat carvers, or, you know, especially if you got an assembly line of people waiting for, you know, turkey or ham, especially if it's not a pre-cut ham, having that, the meat carver is really nice. It speeds it up quite a bit.
Dude, there was something magical about around Thanksgiving or Christmas time, whenever you're like your grandfather or grandmother or whoever would bust out that in
the electric knife.
Yeah.
Like, yes, yeah. Yes, yes. And then the day you're old enough where they're like, would you like to slice the ham? Like, oh, yeah. So
yeah. The heavens open up.
Cut way too thick of a slice, but doesn't matter. So cool.
You know what's another fun piece of tech that's, I don't see them anywhere anymore. It was, I don't know when it was first like the big thing, but they used to be cabinet or wall mounted. Or you had one that was on the counter surface, and there's a lot of these things being opened around the holidays, is the can opener.
I know.
I feel like they've been wiped off the face of the planet and it's all back to manual, which personally I was more a fan of anyway, because I could never get the magnet to hook on there right. for the electric can openers, but where'd they go?
I think that's why they went away, is because they just weren't effective enough and they didn't last.
Yeah, I still see electric ones, but they're just handheld. They look exactly like the manuals. I still use a manual.
Clamp it.
But yeah, you still like just clamp it, and then you just hold down like a little trigger button, and it does it.
I find it satisfying to get the crank. Yeah, though, exactly. You know?
But no, yeah.
Same with opening a bottle of wine.
I haven't thought about those in years, especially the ones that were mounted underneath.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, what?
Yeah. Well, that you talked about, you know, when your grandparents busted out the electric carver, I think about that heavy duty, against the heavy duty wood cabinets, because most stuff's not heavy duty cabinet wise anymore. Mm-hmm. But like, you'd fix it in there and you'd feel that clunk, the big heavy magnet trying to grab the can. And you're like, I got it for sure. Nope, it's going to spin for the next 10 minutes. And you're going to be like, what the heck's going on? Can I get into my pumpkin puree?
Yeah. All I think about whenever I think about those wall-mounted electric can openers is Futurama.
Oh,
Bender Futurama gets in fights with it all the time. And loses.
You know, segueing into our next topic, this is something that Crystal brings up all the time in completely unrelated episodes. Any episode, I swear, it could come up, is tech support for family. She's always talking about tech support for her mom specifically, right? And I have this, you know, my mom's frequently reaches out, even though my brother's more of in the IT tech world, where it's like the hands-on tech support tech world. So now I'm like, brother's got you better. Like I'll play it myself down. I'm like, oh, he's probably just got more knowledge on it now. Right. You know, what is it called? Shift left. We'll say that I'm actually just being responsible. But anyway, when it comes to like getting new technology for, let's just say, older generations or even younger generations, which I experience a lot now, is that holiday tech support, right? It could be even putting batteries in, which that's probably something I want to unpack with, you know, with you guys on here, is what's your tool for that? But before I do, let me go to Crystal first this time. Crystal, holiday tech support, any horror stories, anything specific for you?
Well, you know, the main story that always comes to mind is my mom calling on Christmas Day because she got a new iPad and wanting to know what her Wi-Fi password is. And I don't know what her Wi-Fi password is, having to tell her where to look for it. But yeah, I think that generally speaking, like, there is always some tech support happening. Something doesn't work as expected. I got my son and I got new graphics cards, I don't know, 2 years ago, I guess, for Christmas. So doing the install on that, he's still learning. So I do tech support for him. I still do tech support for him. Something's not working correctly. And I'm like, did you update the driver? Well, what do you mean? I'm like, how have you not learned this yet? So yeah, I think there's, like, generally speaking, there's a lot, but I also get to share the burden of tech support with my brother, but I am an easier person to talk to. So I think I get it a lot. I was going to bring up, as part of this kind of, for like parties and stuff, if you have those who can't travel, or, you know, maybe they're ill, or maybe they're older and they can't travel, or they just had a baby and they want to be part of the festivities, but they're not there. It has become a thing for us in our family that we do a meeting, a Teams meeting or a Zooms meeting, and set up a camera over the TV in like the living space and put them on the TV, and they can be part of it. I will say there are issues with this as well, because as you can imagine, it's like joining into a conference room full of people and you're one person and you're not part of the conference room. So there's some situations there, but I have managed that for parties for my family before, and like getting them involved and making sure someone is by the microphone so that they can have conversations and things like that. And I think you can still be part of it and not actually be there if you'd like to. There's lots of tech options for that.
Andy, how about you?
Just anytime my parents wanted to get a new electronic, it was just a nightmare, because same thing, like, they don't know their Wi-Fi password, they don't know their Microsoft login, they don't know the whatever. And after decades of yelling at them to, like, you know, just get a piece of masking tape, put it on your router and write your password, or write down your actual passwords, which they would do, but then they wouldn't have like a place where they would specifically put passwords. So then they're looking for a post-it note on a desk that's just garbage.
Yeah.
Lots of post-it notes.
Yeah, exactly. So I finally got to the point with my father. My mother's no longer with us, but I got to a point with my father where I just lost all patience. And I told them, just Google it. You are a very smart person. Do not give up on yourself. I believe in you. You can figure this out.
Yes.
And sure, like he wanted to buy a new printer because he had this HP that just took over the computer. HP, I won't say any more about him. But anyways, he wanted a new, because he was like, it takes over the computer and I hate it. So I was like, just go buy like a Brother or an Epson. Like, I've always had good experiences with them. They just act like a printer or a scanner. So he bought this Brother. He was like, how do I hook it up? And I was like, just open the box, do it, just plug it in. It'll walk you through it. And sure enough, like 2 days later, he calls me and he's super proud of himself. Like, I got it working. This and that, blah, blah. And it's like, see, Dad, you can do it. And then just every time now, it's just like, Google it. You know, because I know enough about computers to where if he has a problem, I can tell him, like, that's an easy Google solve. Otherwise, like, okay, next time I'm in town, I'll take a look at it. Like, he was complaining about his speakers the other day, and he was like, I want to be able to, like, change the bass and the treble and this and that. I was like, well, just go to the equalizer and change it. It's like, oh, it has an equalizer? I was like, yeah, just... He's like, where is this? Google it, Dad. You know, if you can't search for it with the Windows key, what's the Windows key? All right, man, just Google it, you know. And sure enough, he calls me 2 days later. He's like, I found the equalizer. Now everything sounds great. I can hear voices. Like, good, good. I'm very proud of you. But now with the kids, the tech support is just any electronic you have to have an account. You have to have a login. Oh, you have to have an email address associated with it. So it's just a full-blown hour of just running in those circles of just frustration of like, they're 8. Why do they need an email address for this? And I don't want it on my, whatever. So it's that. And I will say, it's not the biggest technology thing, but I'm so over it. Is, Sean, you brought up batteries and electronic. I do not need a screw to hold the battery compartment to the device. If I ever see that and I'm aware of it before purchase,
I'm not buying it.
Because I don't want to go to the kitchen to my little drawer that has my tiny little screwdrivers and be like, like, I don't care at that point, just swallow the battery. Like, you know. Just, it's ridiculous. So that's my biggest bane during Christmas of like, it needs 4 AAAs. Let me go get the screwdriver. Who moved the screwdriver? So anyways.
Yeah.
Yes. I couldn't agree more. Yeah. I've got them laying the backs with the screw. I've got them laying all over the house at the moment because we keep these Christmas decorations stationary, right? You put them up and they stay there. So I'm like, I don't need to secure these batteries in from a fall.
Yeah.
Like I'm not tossing it, right? You know, it's we're not going for some battle damage here. Yeah. But anyway, it's so, you know, we'll try and clip it back in because it has this like soft click and then you're supposed to screw right afterwards. We'll just do the soft click. Sometimes it comes out as we like, you know, shift it slightly and I'm like, okay, it could just stay there. Ooh. That's fine. The thing's still glowing, so I'm done with it. But then my son's got all these tiny little screws he's just walking around with. And I'm like, okay, you know, that'll be in my toe later, but at least I didn't have to go through the mental anguish of finding, I can't find the little tiny screwdriver anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, big problems. I got to a point where I got a bit set for a drill. I had to reinvest in some of my Ryobi tools over here in Ireland because I couldn't bring any of them with me, but I got another bit set and I was like, okay, I got some small ones. But then my problem is I grind up the soft tissue of these baby screws and I'm like, oh my gosh, like can they have like decorations or toy setting on these things? Yeah. Or can we get real screws if you're going to put a screw in there in the first place? Or you just rage and realize the screw was basically worthless and you pry it open and crack where the threads were. So, you know, it just depends on, you know, which kid's toy am I on? The first one or the 14th for Christmas? And couldn't agree more on the account situation. It's huge pain, but I feel like I've got myself in somewhat of a zen place now because I just kind of cloned my naming convention for myself for the kids. They've never touched these email addresses.
Right.
Got them all in the Google family thing now. And Google's made it a much easier to be able to like link these things in. Still, I agree. Why do we need it? You need to know what my kids are doing, linked to my family. Like, you need to see what's in their email. Nothing. Mm-hmm. It's so silly. But, you know, data, valuable, I guess, whatever.
The one thing I have been doing over the, you know, finally got smart enough over the past couple of years is that anytime I'm there, like, for instance, getting like a Switch or something like that for Christmas, I don't care. I will open the box, charge it, set it all up. So on Christmas morning, I'm not being bothered because obviously
yeah,
they want to play with
smart.
It immediately. And I get that because I was the same way.
Yeah.
But I, you know, on December 8th, I will take the time to do everything at my leisure. So on Christmas morning, they can open it up, they can play with it, and it's fine. It's still going to be wrapped or in a bag or something like that. They don't care that the box has been opened. They've never been like, "Would you buy this used, you cheapo?" So, yeah. So I do actually take the time for the past couple of years to just get it all set up because I can watch TV while I'm doing it because Christmas morning is just too much
chaotic
going
yeah.
on. And plus, I want to look at my new socks or, you know, pajama pants and be like, yeah. So I don't want to be bothered with like, hey, can you log in? Like, no, go away. So
I agree. And in the same line of like having to use an email to sign into everything is, why does everything need an app? And why are all the apps different? Can we not? Why do we need, I don't need an app for the toy that someone gave my kid. No, I don't need that. Why are we tracking metrics for any of these things either? Same along the same lines. Toothbrushes, all kinds of stuff. You're like, why do I need that? I don't want that in my life. Get out of here.
Create an Oral-B account for maximum clean.
And then I feel at a loss when I'm messing with a Tamagotchi. And I'm like, what is going on here? You're telling me I have to read paper? Like, I have to go research how to keep this thing alive? Oh, it pooed. Now what do we do?
Oh, the Tamagotchi.
You know, and there's so many different little, like, things. She's got a hamster ball. My daughter has a hamster ball. And it's really cool because it has the spinning LEDs, and it spins and creates the images when they flick, you know, the LED flickers on. So it's not actually a panel. It's a spinning wheel. And I'm like, oh, that's so cool. What's its purpose? It's a hamster ball. And you know, she comes up and hands it to me and is like, can you help me? And I'm like, why is it? Yeah. Why is it exist? Like, you know, you wanted this. Yeah, so tech support can go in so many different directions for these things, from the physical hardware to, you know, remote support to hands-on troubleshooting. But, you know, it's a curse and a blessing because there's so much joy around just, you know, after you're done, it's more satisfying, I guess, helping a family member, even though you're kind of grumble about it a little bit and they don't give you a positive survey score. But, you know, it is what it is.
My CSAT scores are in the tank.
That reminded me last year, my youngest started, she wanted a Tamagotchi. And I was like, what? That's not 1997, whatever, but she saw it at the store. So
back.
She got it. Yeah. So she got, we got her, I say she got one. We gave it to her like idiots. And within an hour realized like, I don't want this. I don't like this, whatever. So we basically euthanized the Tamagotchi because it would just beep constantly like, feed me. And it was just like, all right, man, you're going into a drawer in another room until the battery dies or you find, you know, and so... sadly, Tamagotchi passed, and she hasn't started a new one since. But it was just like, oh gosh, it's ridiculous.
Oh yeah, I mean, it just takes you back, doesn't it? So when Tamagotchis first came out,
I never had one. Did y'all have a Tamagotchi?
I had a Tamagotchi.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. But my sister did, and I remember just
again, how do you keep this thing alive? Like, there, and what I love about these things, just because I have a child's sense of humor, is all of them poop. Mm-hmm. All of these digital creatures that you're supposed to keep alive poop. And why is that? I guess they're like, there's only three things we can get it to do. We can make it feed it.
It can cry. Can yeah, pet exactly.
It, and then it poos. Yeah. Well, no, it always cries. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's crazy. It's funny. Yeah, it is. I don't know. Constant stimulation is what it's supposed to be. And then the kids get bored with it. Can you take care of it? Is what it became for us. And I'm like, oh, excuse yeah. me? I have you. Yeah. Like, is that my grandchild now? Okay.
Yikes.
Don't worry, sweetheart. Daddy will take care of it. Hold up a pillow.
Yeah, I'll pillow.
All right. We've talked about hanging out with family and travel and all of these tech support, all of these things. But one thing we haven't covered yet, which I think is important, is decking the halls. Do you have any cool tech or automation that you use? I am excited because I finally got my... I have, as you can see, I've got RGB lighting inside my house, but I finally have the Eve lighting on the outside of my house, and it's amazing, and it's automated, and I don't have to think about it, and it's not coming down when the season is over. I can have Easter lights or whatever if I want to. I can just have whatever I want, and I'm very excited about it. So do you guys have any? I also have RGB lights for my Christmas tree. Everything is RGB now. So do you guys have any tech that you use for decking the halls, as it were?
So for me, weirdly, specifically, just for Christmas, I keep it very low tech.
Really?
I literally do like garland, tinsel, figurines, and you know, when I bust out the Christmas buckets for the decorations. I don't have any lights except for on the tree. And a couple of years ago, I put up just some string lights, LEDs on the house. And yes, they stay up just like you all year round. And I just change it. It comes with a remote control, and I just change the color pattern or whatever, depending on the season. Like right now, it's Christmas lights, but the minute Christmas is over, it's going to go to an icy blue for winter. And it'll go to pink in February, and it'll go to green in March. You know, I have all these color schemes that we just cycle through for the year, because the minute I took down the Christmas lights one year, I was like, well, I hate putting them up, taking them down. And then two, your house just looked bare and bland. So like, mm-hmm. Yeah, screw it. I'm just going to leave them up and whatever. But that being said, for Halloween, it is much different, especially this coming year. Like, we've been this hodgepodge because our girls were so young, but now they're getting to an age where like they have very specific interests, and you know, they're getting on board with the rest of the family. So we would have like a random Nightmare Before Christmas blow up, and then an Olaf and a Halloween mask. Like what? Like, you know, it's just all crap. But we actually have a game plan for next year, because Halloween's biggest holiday in our house. Next year we're going full blown, like tons of stuff, lights, LED stuff projected onto the house, and you know, all that kind of stuff. And we're going to have a haunted graveyard, and it's going to be sweet. So we're going to go high tech for Halloween. But something about I know it's all childhood nostalgia for me. We purposely keep it low tech. I don't want anything like flashing or beeping at me or anything like that. You know, it's just busting out 8 random snow globes that are packed away every year. You know, just stuff like that.
I haven't had decorations in a couple of years because I've moved abroad, don't own my own house anymore. But when we did, my house in North Carolina was a taller house. It was on stilts. So it was really hard to get to the second floor, and it's kind of scary. And we had big trees that would kind of go around where the edge of the house was. So I was like, man, it's going to be a real pain to try and get lights up, especially like, do we just taper the lights and they just stop where the tree branches are in my way? It looks kind of tacky. The lasers were such a huge relief for that house. The house before was a nice cookie cutter, right? Subdivision home. Those ones are super easy to deck out because they're very just couple angles, right? You can't put trees all around them unless they're already 20, 30 years old and the tree's grown up. But that one was super easy. But for the house I had in North Carolina for a few years, the lasers were saviors. It was great. And, you know, you had your Santa Claus on the sleigh just, you know, gliding across the front of the house. And I'm like, all I did was run an extension cord and slap that puppy in the ground.
Exactly.
And I'm done. I'm done. And then you got, like, you know, the laser beam ones that just, you know, flicker some specks of green and red and all that stuff. Just dance it up. I'd like to do more. I always want to do more. But again, like, there's this balance to your point of, if I'm going to have to take it all down, that's a lot of work. When the kids are a little bit of a different age and they can help me and be a part of it, then it'll mean a little bit more. They can understand the experience a little bit better. But for here where we're at, again, going back to the batteries and those little tiny screws, that's the majority of our decorations because they're so simple and easy. It's a string of penguins. There's like four penguins. It's you know, two windowsills width long. They just go in the windowsill and they go on at nighttime and then they go off, right? So easy, so simple. And then they go in a bucket, right? You really don't have to put them up. You set them on the windowsill, wrap some garland around the rails going upstairs, that kind of stuff. So yeah, we keep it pretty simple now, especially because we don't have the our own property to deck out. But that is also something that I love about the holiday season is driving around and seeing everyone else's.
Yeah.
I've never really experienced it in the U.S. I did houses, don't get me wrong. But one thing that's really cool about moving to Ireland is the villages and communities are much smaller. And so, like, there's a lot more communication about what the village or community is about to do. And so they have the light up ceremony, right? Which is on a specific evening. So the whole town village comes out to Main Street. And they'll have oftentimes a little miniature parade that goes through the main street of the village. And then, you know, there's a countdown, 3, 2, 1, boom. And then the lights go up on the main street. It's really cute.
Oh, man. It sounds like you live in a Dickens novel.
Ah, well, it's not too far from it at times. I'll say that. But yeah, it's really cool. And I love, like, even when I lived in the U.S., you know, I put the kids in the car once the sun started going down at an earlier hour. And we would just drive around. And we would look at other houses.
So follow-up question on the decking the halls question, which is, how do you feel about pre-lit versus not pre-lit Christmas trees? Or are you a live tree person? I'm allergic, so I cannot do the live trees.
Live trees are disgusting. Why would you bring the outside into your house? Go live in your backyard. Second, it is pre-lit all the way. The minute it stops working, you throw that thing to the curb on bulk pickup and you buy a new one. I know I am causing lots of garbage. You know, I'm part of the problem. I understand that. But man, there is no, because, and it's all positioning, and I realize I can put the tree in the middle of the living room, but there's nothing more I hate it than having the strings and then just like, a little parade around the tree to just put all the lights. And then there would be that one year inevitably that I forgot to plug them in to check to see if they turned on, and you would plug it in and half of them wouldn't be turned on. I was like, oh, cool, cool, cool. So then I got to re-undo it. So now I'm pre-lit all the way. The only thing I would ever consider putting onto the tree light-wise is, man, I still love the look and sound of the bubbler lights, those super old school. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do not.
So they're like from the 70s and early 80s, but you can still find them at random places. They have to be a fire hazard. But what they are they're string lights, but the light itself is this bowl on the bottom. And coming out from the bowl is a glass or plastic tube filled with colored liquid. And the bowl has a light that shines through the liquid. And as the light heats up, it makes the water or whatever is actually in there, the liquid, bubble. And you'll hear this. And if everything's quiet in the house, like on Christmas night, you'll hear this slight little ASMR bubbling, and then the lights with the bubbles cast these fun, you know, like shadows and reflections and everything. And they're awesome. Just look up bubble lights or bubbler lights.
I'm going to look at it. It sounds awesome.
They're amazing, but they usually only last like two seasons. They're annoying to put away because they don't spill or anything, but you still have to be careful packing them. I'm so used to just like a lights in the bucket and just forget about it for a year. But they are totally worth it. They're so cool. I love them.
They may have discontinued those right after the acid garland that was popular in the 60s.
That's so worth it.
No, but it's funny you mentioned the sound, the ambiance. I have this ancient angel that was the tree topper, right? You have the star, whatever. We had this angel that was probably as old as, maybe just younger or maybe even older than I am. But I got it in the inheritance of things. It was passed down. Still works, but it had a rotating wheel at the bottom. Yeah. You can't see the wheel itself, but it makes the light kind of rotate around the bottom. So kind of like the glow moves. And it's so old that when that wheel moves to a certain point, it just, you know, every 5 to 10 seconds, I can't remember, but like, it'll be quiet and you're just appreciating the glow of the Christmas sitting on the couch by yourself because your kids woke you up. And so you're like, what else do I do but go downstairs and let the Christmas lights entertain? What was that? Oh, my angel's talking to me. But to answer your question, Crystal, I'm both. I agree with Andy. I have that. But then every now and then there's the year where I'm like, hey, you know what? We're going real. We're going real, man. The nostalgia is just going to hit too hard. We're going real. And we'll get a real one and we'll do the decoration. And thank goodness lights have gotten so much better.
Yeah.
I remember the struggles of going through the line of lights to say, which one do I need to replace? The filament's out on this one. Oh, the connection is bad. I need to kind of wiggle it and make it plug in better so the rest of the lights turn on magically. Ah, what a pain. Fortunately, the LED ones are so much better. They don't have that problem anymore. I've been there. The pain of having done all the work, forgetting to check. And it's a rite of passage as a parent, probably. But I feel like, especially as a dad, like you got to go climb the roof. Oh, that's the worst when you've hung them all on the roof.
Yeah.
And then they don't work. Oh, it's just so rough. It's so rough.
That sounds terrible. I didn't actually answer my own question, so I'll answer it now.
No, yeah, go for it.
Yes.
But I have two Christmas trees, and I have one for upstairs, one for downstairs. Actually, the reason we got a second Christmas tree is because my dog kept stealing ornaments and destroying them. So, and she's not allowed upstairs. So there's a second tree upstairs where our like custom ornaments go that we don't want to be destroyed. And then the downstairs one has like balls because like, she'll steal them off the tree. Which is funny because that's not the first pet I've had steal ornaments off the tree. Okay, story time, because now I've distracted myself and I must tell this story. Once upon a time when I was like 10 or 11, we had a pet potbelly pig that lived in the house.
Oh, my gosh.
Lived in the house. She was about 300 pounds. And she was litter box trained. So we, like, built a big enough litter box for her to use. She used a litter box. But she would eat the glass ornaments off the bottom of the tree.
Oh. So you lived with a monster in the house.
Oh my God, she was amazing, actually. My favorite thing about her is she would jump up on the couch, and if you were sitting in her spot, she would like root you out with her snout, which was not fun for anyone because she's massive. And she would sit, she had a spot on the couch and everything. And if you fed her pecans, she would shell the pecans and spit the shells out and only eat the meat.
Oh, really?
Pigs are awesome, dude. Anyway, yeah. So that's my side tell. Her name was Squealer. I did not name her. She was a great pet, though. Long story short, I have two Christmas trees, and one of them is pre-lit. The newer one, which is the upstairs one, is pre-lit. The downstairs tree is not pre-lit, and more to the point, has individual branches. So it is an effort to put the tree together. It's an older tree. I got it for $25 because
Hey, my newer one's the same. It's still amazing. They're not that uncommon anymore.
It is my favorite Christmas tree I've ever owned or had anywhere near me.
The one with the individual branches.
It looks incredible. It takes more work. You have to fluff out
so much more work,
branches.
And no one helps me.
No, my son won't help me. Absolutely not. He does the upstairs tree, and I do the downstairs tree. The upstairs tree is like 3 pieces, and you're done.
Yeah. Yeah.
And mine takes much longer because it's like 6.5 feet tall and it's got, 14 layers of branches. It takes me like 2 hours.
Banana peel each.
But also is not pre-lit. But I'll tell you, Andy, you were talking about and you were doing a little dance around like putting lights around the tree. And I don't do that because I put my tree against a wall on one side. So I am the person that don't look at the back of the tree because it go around and then stop and then go around. So one side of the tree is just barren and it does not look good. But
it's 2D lighting is what you're doing. 2D lighting. Yeah. You're just on the front.
Yeah. And then this past year is when I got the RGB Christmas light string. So I use those. But previously I had like 2 or 3 strands of lights that I kept in rotation. There was LEDs and then there was like some more classic multicolor ones and then just plain like white ones. So depending on how I was feeling, I'll use different lights. I like the flexibility. I don't like that I don't have any flexibility in the pre-lit tree. It's just whatever lights came on it. And then once one's broken or doesn't work anymore, you just throw the whole thing out. And for me, that's I can't do that. Mm-hmm. I have one pre-lit tree and that's enough.
All right. So when is it coming down though?
Ooh, actually 2 parts to that. When does it go up and when does it come down? Another controversial topic. But yes, Crystal, you can go first.
I can go first. Okay, I'll tell you that I am a Thanksgiving girly, so Christmas starts after Thanksgiving is over. Typically, and they're not up yet, but typically I try to put my Christmas decorations up the weekend after Thanksgiving. I am not a Black Friday shopper, and so I don't do that. So usually that Friday, Saturday is when we put up our Christmas decorations. This year that didn't happen because there was a lot of other things going on, so I haven't put my decorations up. They will go up this weekend, but they go up right after Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Typically.
Nice. When do you take it down?
And when do they come down?
Right after New Year's, usually. I wait till after New Year's because I'm lazy.
Gotcha.
Mine's pretty much spot on, about the same thing. We actually might do it the week of Thanksgiving, especially if we've got plenty of time off. It might be like instead of a big day to get Christmas started, it'll be a gradual week of Thanksgiving. Oh, we're putting it up. So that way the week, it's like evolving into Christmas, the week of Thanksgiving. And then you get your first taste of Christmas when you eat a turkey to prepare for your next turkey, So, we have a little oven here. Our spatchcock turkey was so
nice.
Good. So good. How about you, Andy?
Did you say when they come down?
Same as Crystal. Right, it'll either be it's almost always New Year's Day, right?
Okay.
You've either imbibed too much the night before and can't do it, so then it's the day after New Year's Day,
mm-hmm.
or it's New Year's Day because you're like, well, I got the day off, so let's take it down.
Yeah. For us, Christmas decorations usually go up the week of Thanksgiving. Because I finally have gotten rid of all the Halloween decorations. We do not care about Thanksgiving in this family. We've decided we're going to be selfish for Thanksgiving.
I love how he said that so unthankfully too. It was perfect.
We have decided as our core family that we're going to be selfish and we're going to do whatever we want to do as a family. Because we're already going to see everybody for Christmas anyway. So like, what do we need? 2 months of stress and just random arguments over nothing? No, absolutely not. So we do exactly what we want for Thanksgiving. We take our time taking down the Halloween decorations. They go up, and then the Christmas decorations, I take them, pack them all up basically when the girls go back to school, which is always like January 5th, 4th.
Yeah.
But I leave the tree up with the lights, no decorations, but I leave the tree up with the lights in the living room like well into February. Because the minute that comes down, for me, like the living room's just depressing and bland and when the lights are out, the glow of the Christmas tree is still just magical to me. And so we'll just leave the tree up because that's a separate bag, you know, in the corner of the lodge. So we'll just leave that up all the way through kind of like the winter months. And then, like sometime after Thanksgiving, I mean, Valentine's Day towards the end of February, it's like, okay, I'll put the tree up because spring is sprung, you know, it's coming. So that's what we do.
That helps with the like seasonal depression-y feelings, having the lights in the house still.
For me,
because January is generally just like a really hard month for a lot of people. Let me tell you, it's not great to have a January birthday. January is a hard month for a lot of people. And like, that's a good idea. I'm going to try that this year. I'm going to just leave it up and see how I feel through January.
Like I said, I pack up the decorations, but I leave the tree with the lights because it still makes that glow. It's still great. And then, and plus my girls still see the tree. So they'll put like a random thing that they made at school or whatever on the tree. And it's like, hey, great. You know, whatever. But yeah, no, if I have the space or different, like, honestly, we probably will graduate to like, oh, we have three different trees for different times of the season. We already have a very small, like 4-foot Halloween tree that we put up with Halloween decorations and a big pumpkin jack-o'-lantern as the topper. But you know, this year we're probably going to graduate to like a full-size Halloween tree of like, you know, at least 6 feet or something.
I like the idea that the tree is sort of dressed as the headless horseman.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I love it. Well, guys, this has been a really fun conversation, and it never isn't. But it was a fun, I suppose, much more reminiscent, nostalgic. It was all still related to tech, but all still related more so even to just like the traditions and, you know, how we've taken our past experiences with the traditions and evolved them into our current state of, well, I get to make the choices now. How am I going to do it? So it was a lot of fun just kind of self-reflecting and realizing, oh yeah, I used to do it that way and now we do it this way. So what a fun holiday episode. Thanks again for joining us for our third year in a row, Andy.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the invite. I actually look forward to this holiday tradition of being on TechPod. And I'm so glad that y'all joined me on Movies and Mainframes. If you haven't checked out that podcast, listeners, it's Crystal and Sean are regular guests on that podcast. And it's really fun. I host it and we just talk about technology in movies and television shows. And we kind of explore like themes and if they get the technology right or very, very wrong in a lot of cases. So check that out if you haven't already.
What a fun holiday episode. Thanks so much for listening. And if you haven't already, subscribe and follow for more TechPod content. I'm your host, Sean Sebring, joined as always by Crystal Taylor. Thanks for tuning in.